Hey, Mama, you don't have time to be messing around endlessly scrolling to find a caregiver for your child. Let me clue you in to my trick to save time and my sanity when finding a sitter. SitterCity.com. SitterCity knows what they're doing. They've been helping busy parents find the perfect sitter for over 20 years. While other sites overwhelm you by throwing hundreds of random profiles your way, SitterCity matches you with caregivers who actually fit your needs. No endless scrolling, no guesswork. I love that all caregivers undergo ID verification. They have background checks, specialized qualifications, and real parent reviews to know if they showed up on time or really know how to handle my sassy toddler. And if I need help, I can talk to a real live human, not a robot, with SitterCity's delightful team. You know, my employer pays for me to get SitterCity completely free as part of my benefits. Yours could too. SitterCity is my go-to for a smarter, simpler way to find reliable, trustworthy care. Don't wait. Go to SitterCity.com/XX and get the help you need.
Military veterans and active duty service members, you could become a certified cyber warrior with just 12 weeks of training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, and IT pros with these skills often enjoy abundant opportunity and a great lifestyle. Protect our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. SkillBridge and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Inspire Health Podcast. And we brought back a guest that I've had on a couple of different times on the show, Dr. Tom Cowan. And in the past, we have usually talked with Tom more around viruses and viral theory and exosomes and all of that sort of world, primarily tied around health. And when we were starting off our conversation, I was like, Tom, what do you want to talk about today? And he said, really, like, almost anything other than around biology and viruses and all this kind of stuff. So we decided to have a really open conversation around, I mean, Dr. Tom Cowan's got a really diverse background, and I really love the way that he talks about a lot of different areas of life. So not just health, but he has a really different perspective in a way that I think encourages other people to think outside of the box. And so I really enjoy our conversations. And today we decided to talk a lot around our kids, around the educational system, around what the difference between schooling and educating is. We talk a little bit about health as well, but we also talked about the financial system and finances and communities and what even the concept of exchange for value can even look like, and how communities maybe need to develop in a different way than how they currently are operating in order to create a system that might be beneficial for everyone. And we really get into a lot of different conversations. They're really just a very candid conversation around different topics that I think many of us are all exploring at this time. So I hope you guys really enjoy this episode. I always like chatting with Dr. Cowan, and this time actually was the first time Taya got to join us too. So kind of fun to have the three of us all having this conversation. One other thing too is make sure, if you have not, please subscribe to the newsletter, not just the YouTube channel and the Instagram and all of those kind of things. If these channels eventually go down, the only way we're going to be able to have contact with you is directly through the actual Inspire Health Podcast email list. The other thing too is that we are also offering different courses through the Inspire Life Multiversity platform. If you haven't had a chance to check that out, I'll put a link there and go and take a look at the different courses that are being offered there. We are collaborating with different guests that we have really enjoyed working with, as well as just courses that I'll put together myself. But we've got a really amazing course coming out called Spirituality 101 with Giulio Consiglio. So Giulio has been a guest on the show several times. We really value his insights into the world of spirituality and metaphysics. He's an author, he's a spiritual teacher, and really has a beautiful way of just making sense of what is going on in this world, and particularly over the past several years. I know that both Tay and I have had much consolation just working with him too. And so there is a course that he is offering for the first time that is coming out, and you want to get on the email list because you are going to be privy to bonuses that are only going out there if you're on the email list. So just go to Inspire Health Podcast and subscribe to the channel. It's very easy to do. And then get on the wait list as soon as you can for that course if this appeals to you, because there will be some bonuses that will be going out by the end of next week. And if you're not on the wait list, you will miss out. So check that stuff out. I really feel right now that things that are incredibly important are to gain some perspective of what is going on in the world and where we need to focus our attention and focus our energies, because I really do feel things are going to be continually changing, and we need to be in a place where we are operating in a certain way so that we can really navigate the changing world in a way that is going to be most advantageous and beneficial for ourselves and for others. So please check those things out at Inspire Life Multiversity. Just go to inspirehealthpodcast.com and click on courses, and you'll see all of that info. All right, everybody. Much love to everybody. Please make sure to subscribe, to share, to like. All of that stuff helps us with these algorithms and get this message out as much as possible. All right. Enjoy the episode with Dr. Cowan. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Welcome back to the Inspire Health Podcast, and we continue on with our series on Creating New Earth, a collaborative mission. And today we're bringing back Dr. Tom Cowan. Tom's been on the show a few different times with us, back in the series that we did on science, mysticism, and beyond. He was a part of the Cleanse and Detox series. I'll put links to both of those so you guys can check that out. Really fascinating interviews and lots of different information covered. So hopefully we'll tie into some different stuff today. This might be a little bit different than what you're used to with Tom. But for those of you that aren't familiar, Tom's led lectures and workshops throughout the U.S. on so many different topics around health and medicine. He's authored 6 different books, including The Contagion Myth, Cancer and the New Biology of Water, Human Heart, Cosmic Heart, Breaking the Spell, and others. And we thought it would be wonderful to have Tom on the show today. As I was going through his work, on your website, Tom, at the end, it just says, "It's my sincerest wish and expectation that we will forge a new world together, a world that is clean, safe, and governed by joy instead of fear, one that meets the true needs of all living beings. This is the world I want for myself, my children, my grandchildren, all people, animals, plants, and microbes. Join me in remembering the way the world can be if we only learn to see clearly."
Hear, hear.
Love that. So I thought, well, we got to have you on the show for this series, because that's kind of the whole concept of this Creating New Earth. So Tom, welcome to the show again.
Thank you. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, it's always fun to chat with you too. And as I was looking through, you've been getting lots of stuff going on right now, which we'll get into as we go along on your site. But I'd love to touch back with remembering the way the world can be if we only learn to see it clearly. This seems to be what's coming up on a big scale. And my question would be, what's fogging our vision? What has been fogging our vision? And we could pick this well outside of just health and wellness. But what are some of the things that, from your perspective, we need to clear out and actually see in a new way in order to actually forge this new world into existence?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think off the top of my head, I would say the things that are standing in the way of seeing the way the world really is a combination of ignorance, school, shame, and trauma. And what I mean by that is, when you're a young child and you see things and experience things, you're typically told that's not the way it is. And then eventually in school, you're told, if you keep thinking like that, you're a bad boy or girl, or maybe something else now. So you learn, most people, children learn that they better keep quiet because something bad might happen. Some of them learn, there's something wrong with me, so I better keep quiet, like big time. And some of them, maybe a little bit like me, don't really give a damn what those people think and keep trying to figure it out for themselves. And so we learn that, and then comes all the rewards and punishments that go along with that. If you decide to think to believe things that you see and you understand for yourself, as opposed to what you're told, then bad things will happen. You'll get flunked, you'll get teased, you'll never get a job. And nowadays, you even get put on drugs, which make it so you can't even feel or think anything. So there's a lot of bad consequences that happen. And the interesting thing is, most of these things that you're threatened with, if not done to, are the most important people in your life, like your parents and your teachers and your brothers and sisters and your friends. And we all seem to have some sort of tribal instinct, like the worst thing we want to happen to us is get kicked out of the tribe so we get eaten by lions. So we tend to avoid that. And then if you fast forward, you live your whole life with that primal fear that I'm going to get kicked out of the tribe and eaten by lions. And you don't even remember where that came from. And all you know is somehow I better think like everybody else thinks, no matter how irrational it is. And if you don't, something bad is going to happen to you. Let me give you just I happened to read an example of this 5 minutes ago, which so this is way off the subject. But the subject of the book is there is no such thing as a nuclear or atomic weapon. And that what happened in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, they did not explode nuclear or atomic weapons. Those things have never existed, have never been used. They can't possibly exist. And the whole book is a explanation of that. Now, whether you believe that or not, so one of the things he shows you is supposedly when, and this I think will demonstrate my point, they say that the heat and the light of these Nagasaki Hiroshima explosions was so intense that it created shadows on like fences, right? So you see a picture of the shadow of a allegedly vaporized person. So the person is gone. Nothing left of the person. All you see is this shadow etched into the wall, right? So you see that, and we've all seen images like that. We've all seen pictures like that. And you say to yourself, holy shit, that's like a really bad weapon. I got to be scared of that. Now, how many people ask the following question? How come the wall didn't burn down? It's made of wood. It's like old wood. This is a thousands of degree blast furnace. And you mean to tell me that the wooden wall withstood these amazing heat and winds of 1,000 miles an hour? It's like a rickety wooden wall. And so the problem is we see things like that all the time. And we are schooled into somehow not saying, as I've said over and over again, the most important question or saying you can ask or think is, hey, wait a minute. Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Like, how come the wall didn't burn? Like, that can't happen like that. And if you say how come the wall didn't burn down, you're like bad. We're gonna flunk your sorry ass, and you know, and you're never gonna get a job or anything. And we see these things all the time. You know, we see them in politics. We see them in money. You know, we were talking a bit about money before. So, you know, I don't know how many of your listeners know that somehow the government has outsourced the creation of money to a bunch of private banks. Like, and I asked in my heart book, how come they don't out give me the right to make the money? They would call them Cowans. So every time I want to buy a house, because I can make money, right? And you can't. You have to work for money. And you have to work for money of the people that I designate to have an adequate supply of Cowans. I can guarantee you I get the house and you don't. Right? Because I can make more money. And you can't because you have to get it from me. So here's the guarantee of that system. Somebody will end up with all the money, like the people who make the money. And the rest of you won't. Now, if you like that system, because most of the people listening, my guess, are not one of the people who makes the money. Like me, I'm not. I don't make the money. I wish I was, because then I'd sort of do the right thing, but I'm not. Now, the people who do, they have more money than I do because they can make as much as they want. And it's not tied to anything. You know, there's nobody watching them. There's nobody auditing them. There's nobody. And so you have all these politicians and people talking about, oh, we're going to change the system, right? And you say, okay, let's stop giving them the right to make the money. Because as long as you do, they're always going to win and you're going to lose. And that's the way it's going to be, obviously. No, we can't do that. We're going to redistribute the money that the rest of us have, or we're going to make programs and invest. I mean, it's all. And yet we see those things. So some people don't see that, right? Because they don't know that that's the way it works. But even if you tell people that's the way it works. No. What do you mean no? No, it can't be like that, because that's like stupid. Like the people, like our politicians, they're not that stupid. They wouldn't allow something like that. That's one of the interesting things about our system, is that people think these people, like viruses, they can't be that stupid to just make up a virus. Like, they can't be. It's ridiculous. But they did. And that's interestingly, it's like Hitler said, if you tell a normal lie, people catch on, because everybody tells normal lies. But if you tell a real whopper, right, then everybody thinks, no. Nobody would say that whopper, because like everybody will catch him and you'd be embarrassed or shamed or something. Anyways, I went on for a while there, but.
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
No, that's great. Dr. Cowan, you touched on so many important points there. we were driving around in town just the other day, and I noticed a few vans going past us. There was a Rogers van, there was a Tullis van, and there was another electrical van. And I came to the realization, you know, when we spoke with Kathy O'Brien, she talked about the traumatized mind. And once a brain or once a person has been traumatized, the brain segregates and separates everything and is not able to cohesively link one incident or situation to another, or one part of the brain isn't even able to communicate with another. And I thought of how our world has been set up in that we all, you know, as far as professions and occupations, we all kind of get a piece of it. You know, go do and change these wires is what the instructions are given to the electrician to do. And the Tullis company is told, okay, you go and do this piece of it. And before you know it, we have the 5G towers erected, and the signals that are being put out to the population is causing all sorts of issues, which nobody is aware of. But all these people who contributed and did their piece, they have all taken part in something that is essentially causing harm. But I feel like because we, each and every one of us, are getting just a piece of it, we're not able to know all of it, know the agenda that's taking place. These people at the top who, you know, print the money and have the power and are delegating the things that need to be done, they have the full picture and knowing of what's happening. But what's taking place right now, I feel like on a global scale, little by little, you know, whether it be the photon belt that we're moving through or whatever is taking place, spiritually or otherwise, we're all awakening to the bigger picture of what's happening. And we're starting to question the peace that we've been dealt with and the peace that we have obediently instigated and pushed forward for so long. And how do you see this shifting right now? Because obviously we know that you've been quite vocal and outspoken about what you've been seeing. And, you know, you've had, as a child of the government's, you had your wrist slapped and your license taken away and told you're a bad boy, and Jason as well. So like, what now from here? What are you looking to do differently moving forward?
Well, number one, I never had my license taken away. So that's incorrect.
Okay,
I quit voluntarily. Yeah, they called it surrendered, which I didn't like that word, but that's the word they made me use that word. So that nobody ever took my license away, not for even one day. But if I may challenge you a little bit here, because I think it illustrates how one of the ways we got into this mess is we voluntarily atomize ourselves with, I would say, no good evidence that atomization we just did is actually true. So let me give you an example. I don't remember the exact quote, but you said something to the effect of when something happens, your brain goes, it does something, right? It shifts. So how do you know it's your brain that did that? The reason I ask is because I would be shocked if you knew it was your brain. You may have been told it's your brain. You may have even seen some research that your brain does such and such a thing. But I can tell you, if I looked at that research, I would have a lot of questions. Because I don't think my brain does anything. I don't. No, maybe it does. I think I do something, and my brain, I think, is some kind of part of that in a way that's mysterious and I don't really get. And I don't think it's because I'm stupid or ill-read. I think we don't know that. And right now we can't know that. And the reason I bring that up is we do that to ourselves all the time. And, you know, the one of the things that the, as they say, the powers that shouldn't be know, is they learned this over and over again, but they also learned it, I believe, in the Soviet Union, is the best jailer of people are themselves. Because if you try to imprison people, they sometimes rebel. Depends. But whereas if you get them to do it to themselves, they not only comply, but they recruit other people to comply. And the way we do that to ourselves is we say, well, it's my nervous system that can't handle this. Or my, you know, if somebody scares me, it's my parasympathetic nervous system that goes wonky. Or it's my estrogen that's, you know, out of whack, so I scream at my husband, you know, in menopause. Interestingly, if you try to prove that women have a chemical called estrogen in their bodies, I can guarantee you can't prove it. What you can show is that if you take a sample of somebody's blood or biological fluid and then mix it with some chemicals, you can get a reaction which you call estrogen. And if you say, if you ask the question, because we've forgotten in medicine and biology that the way you look for something to a large extent determines the outcome. If you say, how do you know that that mixing it with a chemical didn't produce that reaction, that chemical, which we call estrogen, and that it wasn't there while the person was alive? And you know what the answer is? They don't know. Did you do a control? So you found it by not mixing it with the chemical. No. Why not? Well, because there isn't a control you could do. So this is an assumption. Now, this is a very important thing, because when you go back to how they found DNA, right? DNA is a huge part of our culture. You know, Steph Curry, the basketball player, when they asked him why the Warriors won the NBA, he said, winning is in our DNA, right? So he's like, he say, Steph, how did they discover DNA? He doesn't know. Ask your doctor. Doctor says, this thing, you know, like I can't hear properly. Well, it's genetic, right? It's in your DNA. So doc, how did they discover DNA in the first place? Right? You'd think you'd know that because that's your job. He doesn't know. Turns out they take white blood cells, extract the nuclei, mix it with sulfuric acid, then they get sulfur-rich chemicals, and those are proteins because that's what proteins allegedly are. Then a guy named Meissner, I can't remember the exact date, 1910 or so, decides to mix it with phosphoric acid instead. He gets phosphorus-rich chemicals, and those aren't proteins because they don't have phosphorus according to the definition. So those are phosphorus-rich chemicals found in the nucleus. That's DNA. You say, yo, Meissner, how do you know that the phosphorus didn't come from the phosphoric acid that you extracted the chemicals with instead of your previous sulfuric acid that you got sulfur rich? Did you like do a controller? No, we just know that that's got to be phosphorus. I mean, and then everybody listening to will think to themselves, this is what I was saying before. Seriously, like, are they that stupid? Like, that guy didn't think that maybe he was getting phosphorus-rich chemicals because he was using phosphoric acid to extract the chemicals from a nuclei instead of sulfuric acid. Like my three-year-old would think that. But somehow that's the still to this day, essentially the extraction process. And you start seeing these things, and I don't remember your question even, but one of the ways I think get out of this is the words we use about ourselves. So don't say it's your brain that's doing this, unless you know for absolute sure it's your estrogen, it's your autonomic nervous system. All those are victim consciousness. It's not me. I didn't yell at my husband because I'm 55 and pissed off all the time. That's because I have low estrogen. So you go to the doctor, he gives you, yep, you got low estrogen, give it estrogen. And then I still yell at my husband. Guy pisses me off. But now you feel better. Except then you get breast cancer because it doesn't really work. And, you know, that's one of the ways we get into it. So if I was to give people advice, don't atomize yourself. Don't say things that you don't know that that's true. Because you tell yourself, you bamboozle yourself into being a victim. And that, you know, as my friend Kelly Brogan said, there's only one disease, and that's called being a victim. Mm-hmm. That's the root of all illness.
So, Tom, I totally hear what you're saying on all of that. So, because it's like everything is sort of drenched and saturated in all of this sort of type of thinking for so long. So from a perspective of, you know, wellness, someone comes in with whatever's ailing them, whatever's bothering them. What really, because, I mean, a lot of that stuff, then that can just be a waste of time, a waste of money. It can take you down routes that are actually giving you a false sense of what might be at the root of it and actually keeping you away from addressing what maybe actually needs to be looked at. Where, when people are dealing with certain things, where is a good place to start? And what, from your perspective and what you've seen, what needs to just be moved aside, like is not worth even checking?
Well, the first thing is the word wellness. I would totally get rid of that word. It's absolutely inappropriate for the situation that we're in now. And we do not have a wellness clinic. There's nothing, I have nothing to do with wellness. Why? Wellness means you're well, right? You're fine. So I've asked maybe 50,000 people in various lectures over the year, and I can ask you too. How many people out there have all 32 teeth are perfect, intact, straight, no decay, haven't lost a tooth? Raise your hand. You know how many people have raised their hand?
Nobody.
None. Every one of those people, including me, by the way, including me, are in an advanced state of decay. Right? Your basic structures that you need for life, like your teeth, are falling apart, literally decaying in your mouth. Now, here's another one. There's a book, I haven't read the whole thing, but it's got about barefoot, the dangers of wearing shoes. As soon as you wear shoes, you live your life going down on an incline. It changes the orientation of your knees and your hips and the way your head sits on your frame. Everything about you is messed up as far as your structure. Now, I could have asked all these 50,000 people, how many of you have never worn shoes and your frame is perfectly intact? You know what the answer is? Nobody. I mean, there used to be people. When I was in Africa, nobody had shoes. It's ridiculous. Like, and it messes you up for life. Therefore, nobody is well. And so there's nothing about wellness. So how do you do a medical practice? A person comes in, you know they're messed up, right? Because they wouldn't be here. There's no American who's not messed up. Not only structurally, their teeth are rotting, and they have so many things going on in their whatever, call it like a mind, that are, you know, it's like William Casey, the head of the CIA, said, when we're done with our disinformation program, everything the American public believes is a lie. Not some things. Everything. Everything the typical American believes, according to the program of the CIA. Like, that's the goal. Not, it's not like an inadvertent. That was the goal. So if you believe something different than knowing something, it's almost for sure a lie. So you believe in viruses and government's trying to help you, and you go to school to get educated, and the money is you know, all this stuff. All that's just a lie. So, but it's not all lost, because in most people with the right questioning, they can tell you what ails them. So that's what you add. What ails thee? My foot. And then you let them tell the story of your foot, of their foot. It starts 3 months ago. What happened then? Every morning I get up, my wife stomps on my foot. Same foot? Yes. Same place? Yeah. And what happens then? I tell her to stop and she won't. I don't know why she does it. It's probably estrogen or something. So now here I am 3 months later. My foot is it's really hurts bad. Let me see your foot. Yeah, it's all swollen. So I trust, because I've been through this enough, that somehow the person knows what they need to deal with right now and what happened to them. It's, if you're willing to listen and listen with empathy. And I got this from Carl Rogers of the strategy, because we never ask why. Just, when did it happen? How did it happen? What's the story? I want the story of your life. Then I repeat it back to them. So your foot was fine 3 months ago. Your wife started stomping it because she started taking estrogen for menopause. And now your foot hurts. Is that right? Yes. And then they say to me, say, Tom, do you think the reason my foot hurts because my wife keeps stomping on my foot? I say, yeah, let's try that out. So for the next month, let's not have your wife stomp on your foot. Like, as soon as you wake up, run to another room and see if it'll like mitigate. So they do that because they can see that that makes sense. Now, let me say an important thing here. There's no theories or models involved in this process, right? There's no DNA, viruses, autoimmune disease, conceptions about, you know, polyphenols and what they do to your health. Not saying they don't, but there's none of that. There's just the reality of what happened to you in your life. People know. And then they do something about it. It worked, right? And then you've made their life better, which is the only thing we're about. Make your life better. We're not curing anybody's, you know, tendonitis in their foot, because it doesn't exist. It's just, that's what happened. And then you move on and you move on and you move on, unraveling the pit that we all got in by the time we're 3, but 50. And then at the end of the day, you're a lot better. And that's all you can do. There's no, the whole disease model is wrong. The whole curing people thing is wrong. It's just working with stories to get people better. And out of all these theoretical models that we've learned are the realities of our life. And almost all of them, if not all of them, are just bogus.
Mm-hmm. I like that, Tom. It's reminds me of some of the, I mean, different, but that concept has come up in different ways around that. Ultimately, the answers are within ourselves. We just have to sort of allow them to express themselves. And that's come in different ways. I mean, we were talking to someone who's done different sort of work that ties in with hypnosis, where that's literally like the higher self comes in and explains to them what they need to know. That's sort of based on like Dolores Cannon's work and different things. So I think different approaches, but at the end of it, she was even saying like, this isn't something you even have to go into hypnosis for. You can actually access it yourself by partly, I think, being in a state where you are, you know, able to genuinely allow that information to come up and not block it. But
that's the role of the practitioner. Mm-hmm. And that's captured in that saying, you know, when two or more are gathered in my name, I will be there. Now, you could that's also a sort of a model, but that's the reality of the situation. I know that from personal experience over and over. That's all I did. A person came in. What happened to you? What are you feeling? Because I knew that they know.
Yeah.
And they as soon as you communicate, let me say another thing about that, because I did it a lot with children. And it what happens is child says, you know, so what's up? Child says, I hate my sister. Mother says, oh, Johnny, you're such a bad boy for hating your sister. Like, she's so nice to you. So that's one approach to life. My approach was, which sister? The younger one. How many sisters do you have? Three. Do you hate the older ones? No. When did you start hating the younger one? 6 months ago. And then the whole story, she puts sand in his bed or whatever it is. And he's not bad or wrong or should be shamed. He's got a good story and usually a good reason. And if you tell it back to him, so what happened is 6 months ago, this is what happened. Is that right? Yes. Is there anything I can do to, yeah, tell her not to put sand in my bed. Good. Mm-hmm. I got it. Okay. She may not listen to me. So then we have to figure out why, you know, what she thinks is the reason for doing that. But that's how you solve problems. If you're going to go down the, oh, you're wrong and don't say that, you got nothing. Mm-hmm. Except an angry boy.
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
How do you find for people that have had, I guess there's a point, do you find like in the telling of the story and then the replaying it back that there's just awarenesses that open up for the person that allow them to maybe see it differently or let go of situations? I'm thinking of people that maybe have had, more significant trauma to them or something along those lines where something's happened that's maybe they come to it and, you know, maybe they were abused or something along those lines. How does this practice assist with that?
Yeah, it happens all the time. Here's an example. Guy comes in, 20-year-old guy, it's a real story, Guillain-Barré syndrome, paralyzed both legs. They're not totally paralyzed now, but he walks with the crutches. So what happened? I was fine at 11. And then I go through, so I hear from him that proof that he was fine. Played soccer, captain of my soccer, worked in my machine shop with my dad, all this stuff. Ate normal food, right? So we know he's fine, his words. What happened then? My mother took me for a flu shot. What happened then? Week later, I was paralyzed from the waist down. What happened then? I went to 6 neurologists. They all told me it wasn't the flu shot, that it was just, I had the cold and that Guillain-Barré happens. So I've had all this therapy and gamma globulin and transfusions and now I'm coming to you. I think you could help. So I tell the story back. And just like you say, this light goes on. He says to me, do you think it was the flu shot? I said, I don't know. I just told you your story. And by the way, here's the package insert, which I used to have for the flu shot, says one of the side effects is Guillain-Barré. Now, here's what's interesting and what told me whether the person would get better or not. 100%, one of two things happened at that point. They either cried or laughed. I knew it was that flu shot. I'm never listening to those neurologists again. I knew it was. And they told me that it wasn't. Now comes the next thing, which is really the whole thing in medicine. He says, which I totally applaud and agree with, you tell me, you, Tom Cowan, how I get over that flu shot or I'm going to somebody else. Right? I don't have any compliance problems. I'm not convincing him to do IV this or take silica, gets rid of aluminum or anything. He's telling me at that point, you either, do you know how to get rid of the effects of a flu shot? Yes. Or I think I do, you know, or okay. Cause if you don't, I want you to tell me right now and I'm going to somebody else and I'll figure it out for myself. That patient will 100% get better. He's going to go and figure it out for himself. And we're going to do something, or I'll say, you know, I've dealt with this before, do this, come back in a month, 100% total recovery. That's how it works, because he now sees something in his life that he didn't see. He's no longer a victim of that. He wished he wouldn't have had that, right? We all have that stuff in our life. Like, we wished we didn't do that stupid thing, but we did. So we own it. I mean, he was a child. That's a little different, right? He didn't decide, but we own it. We regret it. We even mourn it sometimes. And then we try to deal with it. If you live your life like that, you'll be a lot better than going to a doctor and it's either bad luck, genetics, or a virus. That's what they tell you.
Mm-hmm. You know, it totally ties in with what's come up different times around the idea of like the truth really does heal. And there's something that happens when we come to it ourselves. Because like you said, I'm sure there's a piece in there where that person probably on some level knew, but maybe to arrive at it to a certain point and hear it back. And then it's like whatever happens at that point, when there's a knowingness of that truth that they came to, that's where that sort of whatever it is, but it's like I know even in my own experience with people and even myself, it's when I arrive at that, something just opens that that provides a space for things to just dissolve.
That's the magic of human contact or with even with animals. They do that, they help you do that too. And by the way, Tia, I didn't mean to cut you off there and denigrate your brain thing. So
I actually appreciate your questioning, because I think what it ultimately does is bring us to a place to constantly check in and ask, you know, how do I know that? What do I know for sure? And then keeps us going forward, investigating and looking at things from different vantage points. And really that's what we welcome wholeheartedly here. So thank you for that.
And everybody needs to remember that the powers that be have said, this is not like a conspiracy theory. This is their own words. Our agenda is so that everything you believe, right? That's different than I know I have a hand because that's my experience of life. But everything I believe, my hand is created by my DNA coding for the proteins that make up a hand. That's a belief system. And they told me that everything I believe is wrong. Interestingly, how do we can check that. You can take a worm and cut their head off. I have photos of these studies. And then expose it to different electromagnetic fields of other kind of worms, different species of worms. And they'll grow ahead of whatever the new species that you've expose them to the field is. And that immediately is incompatible with it's their own DNA that is coding for their structure. Because the DNA didn't change, right? They still have the old worm DNA, supposedly, but they grow a different head. That whole model is, you know, if you read Watson and Crick's original Nature paper of 1953 in Nature, where they got the double helix, they said, we assumed a angle of rotation of such and such. Now, the definition of a double helix is an angle of rotation, right? And so you read it and you say, what do you mean you didn't measure it? Like, you didn't measure anything. There's not a measurement in the whole paper. They assumed it was a double helix, so it was a double helix. They assumed the rotational angles, which were a double helix. Therefore, it's a double helix. If I assume I can walk backwards, you know, well, anyway, I don't know the analogy there, but you know what I mean? That's the whole problem. It's an assumption. There's no measurement. There's no evidence anywhere. Not a single measurement in the whole paper. I mean,
Dr. Cowan, what does school look like? Mm-hmm. What does education look like for our children in the world that we're ultimately wanting to create?
Well, like, I don't know if this is not exact quote, but like Winston Churchill said, not that I like Winston Churchill, but school is completely different than education. School is indoctrination camps. And by the way, I mean any school. I mean public school. I mean all the different private schools. I mean homeschooling.
This comes to the end of our time for this episode. Please go to inspirehealthpodcast.com and listen to the remainder of this important episode. Thank you so much.
Military veterans and active duty service members, you could become a certified cyber warrior with just 12 weeks of training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, and IT pros with these skills often enjoy abundant opportunity and a great lifestyle. Protect our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. SkillBridge and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP.